where they at first come together?
Basically, about 2 years ago, I decided that I wanted to photograph some rappers down in New Orleans. I've kind of bounced between New Orleans and other cities for about 12 years or so. And I decided that I needed kind of a writing partner and put together maybe a magazine pitch or just do some kind of small documentary project. And I've been shooting music and rap for lots of years. So I emailed an old editor of mine in Austin from an alt weekly I used to work with, asking him if he could recommend a writer in New Orleans who wrote about hip-hop or rap. So he recommended Allison and gave me a contact for her. So I emailed Allison kind of proposing a small project and introducing myself, and I never heard back from her. And it turns out the email I had was defunct. So I actually put a post up on Craigslist, and she was the only person that responded. So it was pretty serendipitous that we found each other that way, because I was looking for her. You know, she responded to this post. She happened to be in Brooklyn that day. I was in Brooklyn. We met, and we decided just to start working on this project that turned from a small magazine pitch into basically a 20-year cultural artifact.
Not being from New Orleans, how'd you get into bounce?
Well, I have family that lived there before the storm, and like I said, I've spent a lot of time there, but I've been shooting music for over 10 years, and I got a bounce CD as a birthday gift a couple years ago. And once I got that, I decided that I wanted to do a project on I've shot regional hip-hop and regional form of music before, so I decided that I wanted to get into this form of kind of hyper-regional music.
It is such like a hyper-local kind of
thing.
Who was the first rapper you photographed for the project?
I think it was actually Miss T. The first handful that we did on my first kind of weekend shoot down there, it was Miss T, Partners in Crime, Juvenile, Katie Red, and Big Frida. So that was kind of our first round. And from that, it expanded to about 50 people.
You tried to take still portrait photographs and candid. And so how'd you approach each of those mediums differently?
Well, you know, obviously with the candid shots, these are on locations. This was during performances. These were at clubs versus going to meet somebody, having a proper sit down with them, and having this time and this exchange where I could actually shoot their portrait. So I'm a portrait photographer, but I can shoot anything. So the project is more so portraits, but there is an element of performance and live shots to it as well. And with that, it was more out of my control. I was just kind of observing and shooting versus the portraits where I could actually interact with them and spend time with them and get to know them and interview them with Allison.
What was the first bounce show you went to? Do you remember?
Jeez, I don't actually.
Did you really enjoy getting to like see the sort of inside sort of behind the scenes like look at New Orleans bounce?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I still think there's a matter of, you know, I'm not going to be able to wholly get behind the scenes. You know, I'm still an observer and, you know, a partial participant, and that's the beauty of this project. It's, you know, getting to know and understand a culture and a history that I don't come from. The point of the project is for them to have a space to kind of tell their own stories and their own histories, and Alice and I are just, we're just conduits, but it's, you know, the idea is this is a project where it's their own words. It's not ours. I think there's, especially in New Orleans, there's a pretty rich history of populations being exploited, and especially after the storm. So we were very conscious of being extremely respectful, and like I said, just to kind of have this platform, their history, it's their culture, it's their words, and we just wanted to give people a chance to understand that and to be able to meet this culture, especially with the show traveling and going to different cities where other cities have no idea that, you know, maybe this form of music exists. So it's a really nice introduction for people to understand and, like I said, get to know a new culture.
Bounce is very slowly starting to blow up nationally, you know?
It is, yeah, especially with the sissies right now and with crossover crowds, and it's a lot different than it was, you know, 20 years ago.
And it's like it seems like you really see crowds changing, you know. I mean like more people are getting into it, you know.
Definitely.
And you were saying you've covered a ton of other music and rap too, and like who are some of your favorite New York rappers to shoot?
I actually don't shoot rap in New York. I've done some folks with Rocksteady crew up here, but mostly my big rap contingent that I shoot is down in Houston. I work with lots of folks down there and shooting for their mixtapes and their promo photos and stuff.
You try to shoot many different styles of music?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not biased by any means. I'm a music and a portrait photographer, so whether it's old blues, you know, contemporary emo, old punk, I mean, I shoot all kinds of folks.
There's so much out there to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you like about the music scene in New York?
I don't like much about the music scene in New York.
Oh, really?
That's why I don't. Yeah. I mean, if you compare contemporary music in New York to, you know, we can talk about music in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got a city here where you don't have a lot of native New Yorkers. People come from all over. You don't have access to really practice in spaces. It's harder to find places to play. It's harder to find communities. It's very different than New Orleans, where you have music that's so deeply connected to the culture and to the neighborhoods and to the communities. It's very, very different. So, you know, here it's a much different music scene, especially now, than it is in smaller cities. You know, especially I shot in Austin. I shot music for years, and that's very different than here in New York. So I don't like much about the New York scene. There's not much coming out of the city that I'm really into.
The best kind of music does kind of come out of these smaller communities.
Definitely.
What are some of your favorite places to shoot in NOLA?
I mean, all over. You know, I don't shoot so much, let's say, like in venues. I do live, live, but not much. So, I mean, as far as where I like to shoot portraits or, you know, what neighborhoods, I mean, it depends on my subject. I've shot all over that city. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a big project there right after the storm where I spent about 3 years shooting rebuilders, and so I was in virtually every neighborhood. So, I mean, it's a very picturesque city, so there's no place in particular that I like more than another.
Mm-hmm. Do you like capture subjects in their like natural environment?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
In the neighborhood?
I think that, yeah, I mean, that's, with this project, we would tell them, you know, well, we'd like to shoot you someplace that's important to you, or someplace you're connected to.
Mm-hmm.
And if able to, that's where we would shoot them.
And how long have you been shooting?
Since I was 5 years old. I got my first camera.
Nice. So you must shoot like film, digital, or?
Both. Depends on the project. If I'm doing commercial work, it's probably digital. With the portraits, for where they at, those were all shot digitally.
Mm-hmm.
With all the landscape shots, those were all shot with large format film cameras. So it just depends on the subject and depends on the time and resources.
What sorts of other projects are you working on?
Oh, I always have a ton of projects. I've been working on a children's book for a couple years now. I teach. I do all kinds of things. I stay very, very, very busy with lots of projects. From this project, I need a little bit of a breather. It was a pretty intense couple years with this. So while it's still ongoing, it's not as intensive as it's been. So actually from this, I think I'm just going to kind of switch to landscapes for a while.
Sure. It makes sense, right? Yeah.
Take a little break from people.
How many people did you shoot for the project?
Over 50, and we're still tracking people down. Our master list of prominent kind of architects and DJs and rappers and label owners, it was about 80 people, and we found about 50 of them, and we're still looking. Some are incarcerated, some have passed, some are missing, so we're still moving.
Mm-hmm.
Still trying to find folks.
Is there anyone you haven't found that you like really love to find for the project?
That's funny. There was actually one of the really early bounce artists. His name was Ricky B.
Ricky B is probably like the crown jewel that everyone's trying to hunt down.
Well, and what's funny is, you know, we've been trying to find him for a very long time, and we heard he was dead, and then we heard that he was at a club in Baton Rouge a couple months ago. Then we heard, I don't know, the last time I saw him was in 1992 at a car walk. Nobody knew where he was. And usually with working with so many communities and so many overlapping, you know, kind of fabric, we would usually get pretty good leads on people. Or it's like, oh, you know what, my cousin knows where this person is. Or, you know what, somebody at my church knows their mom. So we could always kind of get some kind of lead. But with him, nothing. And what's funny is this whole project has kind of gotten to where, like, okay, where's Ricky B? Like, nobody knows where he is, and he's so important. And we actually got an email via the Where They At website last week, and it was like, hey, I'm Ricky B's cousin. Here's his number. He's in Baton Rouge. Give him a call. So Allison and I have been she's been playing phone tag with him. He was just in New Orleans at Peaches Records yesterday. So it's funny, you know, trying to find him, and we were going to hire a private investigator. We had no idea where he was, and we just kind of found him. So
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty ecstatic. I mean, it's been a real journey to find Ricky B, so we're pretty ecstatic. And there's still other folks, you know, like Mystical was in jail for a long time, mm-hmm. and he just got out. We have his manager's number. So it's, I think we needed, you know, people in the community kind of needed to see the project to really understand what it was about and the importance of it. Mm-hmm. And now that it's on display at the Ogden, now that it has a web presence, I think it has a little bit more validity and legitimacy to where the people that we are looking for kind of understand it and are a little bit more accessible now. At the very beginning, it was hard. It was two, you know, white girls. They're like, hey, we're doing this. And a lot of people were skeptical, and that's completely valid. And I think now, you know, once again, that people can actually see it, understand what it is, understand our role and their role in the project and the greater good of it. Like I said, it gives it some validity, and people really understand the importance of it.
Did you find it hard trying to break into the scene?
Not necessarily. Allison had been writing for a while, so she had some connections with folks. She did a really great story about the Sissies. Her husband is a DJ with a lot of the Sissies, and film You Heard Me, which is a documentary that came out a couple years ago that was filmed before and some after the storm. Stephen Thomas and Matt Miller, uh-huh. they really kind of laid the groundwork for documenting kind of this community and kind of getting in a little bit. So they really kind of helped us out. They gave us some connections and some contacts. So it was a little bit of a challenge, but not much. And I think having really good intentions and Allison being extremely knowledgeable, they knew that we were kind of serious.
What do you feel were like the hardest aspects of the project?
I think one of them is just the idea of wanting to do it right and mm-hmm. wanting to do it correctly and wanting the people that, you know, are involved, wanting them to be happy with what's been done. You know, having some accountability to them, wanting all the participants to appreciate it and to be proud of it and to want to own it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, it's being accountable to people. That's mm-hmm. probably the most stressful part for me.
Right.
We do it right. And we can't make everybody happy, but I think for the most part, people are really, especially the people involved, I think they're very happy with it, and that's the most important part.
What other cities are you trying to take the project to?
It started in Minneapolis last July. It showed in New York in March. Showed in Austin in March. It's showing in New Orleans now. So we're working right now on Los Angeles and Washington, D.C.
What cities do you feel are going to be most into bounce?
I think there's so many lines between bounce and other forms of music that other cities can relate to. Like, for instance, in D.C., you've got go-go. In Baltimore, uh-huh. you've got Baltimore Club. So I think there's just so many parallels in other cities that it's, I think, really anybody can relate to this kind of music and be open to it.
What sort of advice would you have for up-and-coming photographers?
You know, I teach photography. I teach adults, and I also teach in low-income public schools. But, you know, when I teach adults, it's a pretty hard state right now for photographers, especially for commercial photographers, because mm-hmm. for me, you know, magazines are dying and record labels are dying, and it's a really challenging time to be in that profession. So as far as advice goes, as I tell my students, don't quit your job yet to uh-huh. become a photographer. Because it's really tricky right now to make money off of it, and that's what was really great about this project, was actually getting funding from the Greater New Orleans Foundation so we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as far as advice, I mean, it's such a beautiful art and it's such a beautiful trade, and, you know, just to enjoy it, but knowing it's a little hard right now in the market to actually make a living off of it, and hopefully that'll change.